Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody. Pastor Pat here from Encounter Church. Great to be with you tonight with our Wednesday evening service to our Encounter Church family and friends and others that are going to be watching this tonight, tomorrow, whenever you're able to tune in. But it's great to be with you. I'm very excited about the things that the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you. I believe it will be an encouragement to you and challenge you in some areas. I'm going to be sharing in just a moment about the Apostle Paul. And this, my subject tonight is locked up, but not shut down. Locked up, but not shut down. We're going to learn some things from Paul in the book of Acts. But before we get into that, I want to just say to those that are veterans in our country tonight, this is today, Wednesday, the 11th of November, Veterans Day. We just want to celebrate you. We thank God for you. We thank God for your families, the sacrifices all of you make, the commitments that you've made so that we as a country can be protected and blessed. And as you guys are on the front lines, some that have been there years ago in different battles, different areas of service, some that are there now, thank you so much for all that you do. Believe me, we don't forget it. And we're so grateful for what God has called you to do with our military and your family's sacrifice along with you. We pray for you. We thank God for you. And we know that what you do makes a big difference. Tonight, as we celebrate you, soldiers in the United States of America, I want to also celebrate another soldier, the Apostle Paul. He was a soldier of the kingdom of God, and he went through some battles of his own. But before we start digging into this, I'd like to just open us in prayer tonight. If you could join with me, that'd be great. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God, I ask that you touch folks tonight as they're hearing your word. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you encourage them, Father. Touch them where they need healing in their bodies, where they need hope in their life, where they're facing their own battles, that they would bring you into the situation, ask you into the battles so that, Father, you will part the Red Sea for them. You will bring about the deliverance they're needing. Father, touch folks tonight. Those that go to Encounter Church and others, let the power of your Spirit bring power and health and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24 through Acts chapter 27. Obviously, we're not going to be able to look at a whole lot in all three of those chapters, but the Apostle Paul brings some things to us there by the Holy Spirit. Three things that I want to present tonight out of those three chapters. And I'll give you kind of an overview right now, and then we'll go back and do a deep dive into it in a moment. But we're talking about Paul, the soldier of the kingdom of God, and that he taught some things while he had to encounter his own battles. And my message, as I said, is locked up, but not shut down. And what the enemy can't do is shut down these three things I want to present tonight. He cannot shut down the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He cannot shut down the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he cannot shut down the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to look at those three things that Paul demonstrates to us, but also understand this. What we're looking at isn't just what Paul did. These three areas belong to every one of us as believers. The teaching of the gospel, the defense of the gospel, and the testimony of the gospel. Or we could say the power of the gospel changing our life and the testimony it brought to us, to the world. Paul demonstrates those three things in these chapters. So what's the background before we look at these in a little bit more detail? This is in the area or the time of Paul's life that he had been in ministry by this time, maybe 25, 26, 27 years, that he had been already preaching around Macedonia, Asia Minor. He had been all over these areas of his ministry for many years. He had planted churches. He had seen the miracles of God now for a long time, and he had seen God demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit through him and his team miraculously for many years. But there came a time where Paul felt like he was compelled to go back to Jerusalem in the time of the Passover. And others said, please don't go. He had people telling him, don't go. You could get hurt. You could get arrested. Paul felt compelled, though, that God was telling him, go back to Jerusalem right now and proclaim the gospel. So he did go back. Now, in this time, the church or the Jews were celebrating their Passover, and Paul wanted to visit the temple. Well, he hadn't been there in many years, so he went to the temple. When he went to the temple with others, and there's a lot more detail to this that you can read, but when he went there, some people noticed who he was, and they weren't happy with who Paul was. Paul was a man who was converting the world for the kingdom of God. And the Jews, the religious Jews, hated Paul with a passion because they felt threatened by the message he was giving that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and was the Messiah that was promised. So they attacked him when he went to visit the temple, and they arrested him and brought him to a Roman centurion. The Roman centurion protected Paul from being killed. And then from Jerusalem, the centurion brings him down to Caesarea. Caesarea was on the coast, north of Jerusalem on the coast. Caesarea was built by Herod the Great, and it was named after Caesar. And of course, Caesarea being named after Caesar, you're talking about a Roman community, Roman town that was in Israel. That's where the governor was. And the first governor we're going to look at is Felix, because in chapter 24 of Acts, the centurion brings Paul to the governor so that Felix could interview Paul, interview the Jews that are accusing Paul, and find out what all the hubbub's about, because they didn't understand this religious battle that was going on between the Jews against Paul preaching Jesus. So Paul's brought down, put in the jail, which Paul was fairly, comfortable in jail surroundings by this time. And Felix was the governor of that particular province and wanted to question Paul. So Felix, being a man who it says, history says that he was a man that understood how to bribe others and to how to gain wealth through the bribing of people that he had under his control. He was trying to do the same thing here with Paul. Paul, in this time, from the time we're going to be looking at it with Felix, up to the time he was in front of Agrippa, spanned a period of 2 years plus. Could have been 2 years and 2 months, what have you. But in that time frame, he was with Felix just a part of those 2 years. It says Felix kept bringing Paul out, hoping for Paul to raise money from his friends to pay Felix off so that Paul could get out of jail. Paul wasn't in jail because he was afraid of it. Paul wasn't in jail because he was trying to get out of it. Paul was in jail for the kingdom of God, and he was willing to stay there as long as God wanted him to. And so Felix was playing this cat and mouse game with the apostle Paul, but he did have Paul come in front of him. And the first area I want to look at with you tonight is when Paul stood before the governor Felix. And Paul demonstrates the first point, which is teaching, that the devil can't shut down the teaching of the word of God. And so Paul demonstrates that here in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla. Now, Drusilla was Felix's wife. Drusilla was a part of Herod's family, the whole Herodian family clan. She was the daughter of Agrippa number one, King Agrippa one. She was his daughter, not the king who was after Jesus, but the son of King, that was Herod the Great. She was the daughter of Agrippa number one, who was the son of Herod the Great. And then they were all mixed together. These three people we're going to be looking at tonight, the whole family lines were connected together, and they all had that area of power and influence as governors. And so some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ. Now, notice what Paul taught. This is what he said to Felix, the Roman governor, in front of his accusers. The Jews were there too. So Paul's in front of political systems. He's in front of religious systems. That's what he dealt with all of his ministry and life, it seemed like. Politics and religion. Maybe this will even help you at Thanksgiving. When you're at the Thanksgiving table with your family and politics or religion comes up, maybe these 3 points will help you in just a few weeks with Thanksgiving. But here's Paul in front of the political leadership, or the religious leadership, and he says, as Paul was discussing with all of them righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. After Paul mentioned those areas, then it says, Felix became frightened, and he said, go away from me for the present. Paul began to teach, and that's my point number one. The devil cannot, he can't shut down the teaching of the gospel. He might have Paul locked up, but he can't shut down the gospel. Paul taught these folks at this time the gospel. What did he teach? Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Righteousness, he couldn't have taught that without getting into our unrighteousness. He had to have gone into the righteousness of God. He probably talked about how we as people are not capable of approaching God because God is a holy, righteous God. So in some way, he must have conveyed the need for Jesus Christ to be our righteousness in order to become acceptable to God. So he taught on righteousness. He taught on self-control. Well, that probably really freaked out Felix. Felix was a man who had everything he wanted at any time he wanted it. People serving him, people afraid of him. He probably indulged in all kinds of fleshly activities. And here's Paul boldly proclaiming self-control, the importance of not having everything your way, not having everything you want, having control in your life, so that you're not just living your own life for your own gluttony, your own life, your own desires. He taught self-control. Well, we as believers understand that. It's a part of who God is in us. But talking to Felix, this Roman governor, must have been quite challenging at that moment. And then he talked about, and here's the thing that probably really freaked them all out. He started talking about the judgment to come. The judgment to come. Well, that gets into all kinds of end times understanding, standing before the judgment seat of God. Maybe he got into that the judgment seat of Christ, and all that God's going to judge sin, and that without Christ we're all in trouble, and without Jesus in our life, there's judgment. That must have really freaked them out. Maybe it was at that point Felix said, "Get away from me, Paul. I can't hear any more of this." And so he sent Paul back to jail. Later it says he was hoping Paul would give him money to get him out. But that didn't happen. So the first thing that Paul did, he taught. He taught the word of God to these people. And I encourage you as believers, you don't need to be a Bible student. You don't need to have a degree. But become familiar with the word of God so that you can teach when appropriate and basic things, easy things. But know some certain doctrines. Understand what the Old Testament talks about, the New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. Become acquainted with Paul's writings, the Gospels, so that you are able to teach those basic things that we all might be called on at different times to do so. Maybe leading a home group, maybe leading a Sunday school class, maybe teaching some neighbors in your neighborhood. But be able to teach without having to become, you know, you don't have to be a full-time ministry to do basic teaching. But become familiar with the Word of God. That's point number one. I'd like to also now move to point number two, because it's point number two that Paul is talking in defending the gospel. See, he was locked up, but the devil could not shut down the teaching of the gospel. He also can't shut down the defense of the gospel. And Paul's now in the front of Festus. Felix, the governor, moves on and is out of the situation now. Felix moves in to the governorship in this area and begins to take control of that particular area. Paul is still in jail. Same jail, different governor. So Festus brings Paul before him and wants to hear. Now, all the Jews come down from Jerusalem once again. They're attacking Paul. They're accusing Paul. And this time, Paul isn't going to teach as much as he is going to defend himself. And remember, there are times, and it tells us in the New Testament that there are times we have to defend the gospel. We have to know what we believe and defend it. You have to have the courage at times to defend what you're living for. Why do you believe in Jesus? Not necessarily the point to teach it, but to defend your stand for God at that moment. We know of our, you know, all the testimonies of old time saints that defended their faith and even went to death defending what they believed. There's a time to defend what you believe. When you're under attack verbally or otherwise, have the courage and the boldness. That's what Paul did. And so just his defense in Acts chapter 25, basically Paul said this, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also know very well, Festus. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true, of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, then to Caesar, you will go. So Paul, standing, defending his position, he was saying, I don't have to answer to the accusations of the Jews because what they're accusing me of has no weight. I haven't broken any laws. I haven't done anything to offend Rome. I am standing here because they are accusing me of what is false. So my defense is, I want to go to talk to somebody who can really make a decision. So he asked to go all the way to Caesar. And of course, he did go to Caesar. Later in the book of Acts, the shipwreck, going to Rome, and then he actually did stand before Caesar and gave his defense in his life there and maybe his teaching there as well. So Paul, point number two, we have to defend ourselves at times. Become equipped. Put on the full armor of God. Understand there will be attacks. Understand not everybody's going to love you. Understand people at work might not think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Understand that just because you're a believer, the enemy doesn't like you. The enemy wants to stop us. He doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to see people born again. So when you're in those places, just put on that armor. Understand that you are capable with the power of God to make a defense of who you are in Christ and that you're on this earth as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And then boldly proclaim what God's told you to proclaim. Don't be afraid. And in our day today, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of things going on, but God is not wringing his hands. God's not afraid, and God is in you. Let the God in you have his boldness, live big, and defend your walk with Christ when appropriate, when necessary. So point number one, the devil can't shut down the teaching of the gospel. We're all teachers to some degree. We're all disciples. Number two, he can't stop us from defending ourselves. We will stand in courage and defend who we are in Christ. Now, the third point is found in Acts chapter 26, and that is the testimony of Christ, or the testimony of Paul about Christ. And so my subject again is we can be locked up, but we cannot be shut down. We can't shut down our teaching. The devil can't shut down our defense of the gospel, and he can't shut down our testimony. And this is found right here in chapter 26. Paul now is brought before not just a governor, he's brought before a king. So he's been in front of the governor Felix. He's been in front of the governor Festus. Now he's in front of King Agrippa. This is King Agrippa number two. This guy's the last guy of the lineage of the Agrippas, of the Herods, let me put it that way, of the Herods in that area. He's the last one. His dad, Agrippa number one, is the guy that was killed in early part of the book of Acts, when he went down to a particular area, and people started shouting that he was a god and that he was so wonderful. And it says God sent an angel to this particular guy, King Agrippa number one, and slew him for not renouncing what they were saying, that he was a god. That's in the book of Acts. You can find that and read it. I'm not making this up. And this guy that we're looking at right now, that was his daddy, who got killed by proclaiming himself God. But he was also a part of the whole Herod family, and he's the last one. Now, this particular Agrippa lived a long life. I think history says he died around 95 AD. And right now we're looking at probably 62, 63 AD perhaps. So this guy lived a lot longer. Hopefully he did one day accept Christ in his life. He was there when Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD. He lived beyond that and beyond that. And so the thing about this particular Herod Agrippa number two, he was married to his sister, Bernice. So it's a strange family situation going on here, the whole Herod clan. And so here he is with Festus in Caesarea, and Herod has his wife, who is his sister, and history and others talk about that situation that he was married to there. So a family that really needed God. So who do they have come up in front of them? Paul. Who does Paul know? God. So why not let this guy tell us a little bit about this? So Agrippa, based on Festus calling him out, saying, "Oh, King Agrippa, I have a guy here who the Jews have been confronting. He's been with us 2 years. He's been in jail, but I don't know how to send him to Caesar because he wants to go to Caesar. And I don't know what to tell Caesar about all this because he hasn't broken any Roman laws. So, oh, King Agrippa, can you listen to this guy and see what you think? And then maybe together we can write a report to send to Caesar with him." And so King Agrippa gladly accepts the challenge. So out they trot Paul. Now, what's funny about this, it says in verse 23, "On the next day when Agrippa came with Bernice amid great pomp and entered the auditorium accompanied by many commanders and the prominent men of the city, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought forward." Now get the picture here. You got a king with lots of pomp, lots of decorations, lots of celebration. You got the commanders of his army right there. You have the religious Jews down from Jerusalem once again. And this room is packed full of, quote, important, powerful people that, I mean, some of us would say, "Gee whiz, I don't want to offend these people. You know, they, you know, maybe I can appease them or make them happy." And here's little Paul standing there in the middle of this great room with all of these great people, probably by himself. Maybe he had a couple friends there with him. But here's Paul, and King Agrippa basically says, "Okay, Paul, what's your story?" So the third point is Paul gives his testimony. And without reading all of it, starting in verse 9 of Acts chapter 26. "So then," he said, this is Paul talking, "I thought to myself," this is before Paul was born again, he's saying, "I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Paul, being a very radical Pharisee, hated Christians or the believers of the day, or they were called the Way. And he said, "And this is just what I did in Jerusalem." He said, "Not only did I lock them up, and I locked up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death," this is Paul talking, before he was saved, he was Saul, before he became Paul, he said, "When they were being put to death, I cast my vote for their death. And I punished them often in all the synagogues, and I tried to force them to blaspheme." Can you imagine? This is the Apostle Paul. Before he met Christ or Christ met him, Paul was forcing believers, trying to force them to blaspheming the name of God, blaspheming the name of Jesus. He would lock them up in prison. He would stand there and watch them as they were killed and murdered for their faith. This guy was rough. This guy was ugly. This guy was targeted by God. And God is targeting people today. I read that part first before he gets into his other parts of his testimony. But it's important to understand, we can't judge the worst of us by their deeds. We have to trust God to touch them. The Christians of that day probably, and it does say later, they were amazed that he got saved. When Paul came back to Jerusalem and Israel, they were amazed that he got saved. They couldn't believe it. God goes after the hardness of people. God's grace is sufficient to change anybody. So keep praying, keep believing God for people to be born again around your neighborhood, your family, your co-workers, our nation, politicians, religious situations. Believe God. And so Paul said this, while in so engaged, I was on a journey to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests at midday. And then Paul goes on to say, while on his way to Damascus, a bright light, brighter than the sun, blinded him on the road to Damascus. And he shouted out, "Who are you, Lord?" And then Jesus said, "It is me." It's Jesus that you are persecuting. It is Jesus that you are attacking as you attack my people. And then from that road, he was led into Damascus. And we know the story where he was prayed for by Ananias. Paul was gloriously born again, gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. His testimony was he went from darkness to light by the power of God. His testimony was he met the risen Christ. Today, we have a testimony. And I don't have time to read through the whole thing, but read chapter 26 of Acts. Read that full testimony that Paul gives. Read the courage of him giving it. Read the power of his testimony. Not teaching, not defending at that moment. He was giving a testimony. My testimony, I was born again. God saved me in 1976. Brought me out of great darkness and a lot of heartache and brokenness in my life. God changed me, transformed me. You have a testimony. What has God done in your life? What might God want to say to others through you? Some people think, well, so-and-so has a testimony. They're on TV. They got a great testimony. You have a testimony if God's changed your life, if God's worked a miracle in your family, if God's healed your body, if God's helped you pay your bills, or if God literally met you on a road, a dark road, one day, one night, and God came into your life because he pulled you towards him. And he pulled you to his love and his grace. And in that moment of pulling, you responded, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me." You know, God can do that right now. If you're watching this program, wherever you are, watching it at whatever time, just call on Jesus to come into your life. And you can have a testimony that God changed you, not because of what you did, but because you believed in what he has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I just wanted to share these three points with you because we're in a day, we're always in a day, where people around us might need us to have a teaching. We might need to defend our faith. We might need to just share our testimony. But I want you to understand that God might use one of those three things or all three of them at some point. In your life, at any given time, any given day, at any given moment, that you are going to be called on by the Holy Spirit to walk in one of these three things. Now, thankfully, you're not going to be in front of a governor. You're not going to be in front of the king, though some ministers do, some people are. But you and I, mainly, we're just in front of day-to-day people. But God wants us prepared. God wants us ready to do what Paul did. He was in jail 2 years. In a span of 2+ years, these three things came out. How many people were affected by that? We don't know. How far did it go with what he shared and people took it to others to share? We don't know. How far will it go in your life when you do it with other people? Tonight, the devil might try to lock us up, but I'm telling you, he cannot shut down the teaching of the gospel, the defense of the gospel, or the testimony of the gospel. It will not be shut down ever because Jesus Christ is Lord. So I'm going to pray with us tonight, pray for you tonight as we close this out, and pray that God would touch you tonight with courage and boldness and stir up your faith. So if you would just agree with me, Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are hearing my voice and listening to this tonight. God, we're just people. We're people, God, in a world that seems so out of control at times. And we feel so incomplete at times, so incapable at times. We don't at times even know what we can give to people or do for people. But we know right here in this story, Father, you teach us through the Apostle Paul, we can all have a teaching. We can all defend what we believe. We can all have a testimony. And God, I pray you'd help us all to walk in those areas of our life that it influences other people, that it blesses people. Some people might reject it. Others might say yes to it. But that we will understand you want to use us. So, Father, use us tonight. Those that are hearing me pray, touch them, encourage them in Jesus' name, so that they'll leave this program saying, me, God, use me, God, in one of these areas of my life now, next week, next month, next year, use me. Beloved, God loves you. And again, if you've never accepted Christ in your life, just ask him right now. He's waiting. You don't have to wait another second. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for watching our Wednesday night service tonight from Encounter Church. Join us Sunday morning. We're here at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock, but you have to RSVP. So go to our website, ec@ecdenver.org, and sign up there, RSVP, to come to one of our services. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.